The scripture passage we have read together, and we'll read it again. That is 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 through 18. So 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, today we have another of those special Lord's Days. Instead of being together here in church, most of us are at home to listen via live feed. Still, to listen to an official proclamation of the Word of our God, to listen to the Gospel of the Savior of the world, our dear Lord Jesus Christ. Yet to be assured as his people that there is life in him, our Savior, no matter what, no matter whether we will become affected or not by that fearful virus going across the globe, the coronavirus. In view of the fact that we have also confessed as church that nothing comes to pass without his will and permission, then we know surely that the Lord is using it to have us sit up and take notice so that we think of him. Concentrate on what he, our God and Father, what he, our Lord and Savior, wants to work out among us, his children, among us, his creatures, at this time, and wants to assure us of this amidst the uncertainties caused by this coronavirus. Now with that calamity hanging above our head. Yeah, beloved, what about this virus? What about this adversity? Now when everything becomes marked by it, becomes marred by this global setback, when there are hundreds of thousands becoming ill, now when thousands among them are dying, now when so many have to bring their beloved ones, many of their older ones, to their last resting place on earth, well, how difficult to take this in stride. And not knowing whether it will hit any one of us, whether we ourselves may be faced with and become part of this fearful calamity, make ourselves be faced with death itself. Well, how good it is then, beloved, that we can set ourselves to listen to what the Lord our God, what God the Holy Spirit has to say in this letter of Paul to the church at Corinth, so that we may gain, may have ongoing confidence in our God and Maker, in our faithful God and Father, so that we at all times may fully realize that those who believe in Jesus Christ do not need to be afraid, no matter what, and do not need to give in to a mood of depression or pessimism. For when we live out of faith, faith in God, faith in our Savior Jesus Christ, we never need to lose heart, not under any circumstances. For the Bible, this Word of God, grants us comfort, the only comfort under all circumstances, by renewing our inner self, by preparing for us an eternal weight of glory, and by making us concentrate on things that are eternal. So again, God's word grants us comfort, that is the only comfort under all circumstances, by renewing our inner self, by preparing for us an eternal weight of glory, and by making us concentrate on things that are eternal. Though outwardly, Paul says we are wasting away, Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. That is the first contrast that we meet in our text. There is the destruction of the external man, the body, and the renewal of the internal man. You could say that is the spirit soul of man. The Apostle Paul draws attention to the fact that our visible, external, our physical appearance in this world is subject to ruin, to decay, and don't we know it? Yes, that in the end our body will be wasting away, and that implies suffering, something that Paul himself could relate to, very much so. He himself was no stranger to the weakness of the flesh. In fact, what he had experienced in the way of suffering has often sapped his strength, oftentimes did him nearly in. And no wonder. The calamities in his life were many. In 2 Corinthians 11, he sums up the intense suffering he had to experience, that he had to endure during his missionary journeys, something that is just unbelievable. And still, in faith, he was able to acknowledge in the following chapter, 2 Corinthians 12, that all those hardships were there for his own good. They prevented him, he confessed, from becoming conceited because of the unsurpassing greatness of the revelations that he had received from God the Holy Spirit. And to the end, he was even given a certain thorn in his flesh, from which he so badly had wanted to be relieved, for it made him feel awful and made him look so weak in the sight of others. But then he let us know that it for us and our salvation, he let us know what his Lord and Savior had said then to him. He said to me, and I quote, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power, in fact, is made perfect in weakness." And therefore, Paul went on to say, "I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." That is, strong in the Lord, God Almighty. Now, no doubt he found such a life most exhausting, hard to take in stride. Yeah, it tends to ruin a man, making him old before his time, as we say then. But thanks be to God, there is something over against this that made Paul persevere despite all those bodily hardships. With his inner nature, things were so much better. That got constantly renewed. That inwardly turned life got new strength from day to day. Yeah, as far as the eye was concerned, it didn't look too good. Man caused the ruin. But then there is that life inside of him, in his heart, in his mind, which was indestructible. That is the life of, the life in the Lord Jesus Christ, his resurrection life, and which life manifested itself in the Apostle Paul and manifests itself in the life of all of us believers. The inner man, also called in 1 Peter 3 verse 4, the hidden person of the heart, is that deep inner life where the regenerating grace of the Holy Spirit began his work of renewal, the renewal of mind, of heart. Yeah, where the will of man goes out to the ways of the Lord, so that the apostle could write in Romans 7, verse 22, "For I delight in the law of God in my inner being." And in Ephesians 3, verse 16, "So that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being." So through the renewing influences of the Holy Spirit, Paul was enabled to take his hardships in stride. And it motivated him to trust God Almighty. to trust that he would make everything well with him in the end. And that's how he, through faith, learned to reckon with things unseen. For although unseen, he believed, he knew of that Spirit worked renewal in his inner man, in his heart and mind, which held out to him the promise of life eternal and of a crown of victory that was laid away for him. And, beloved, that kept him going. That renewal of the inner man undergirded his weakening body and prevented him from perishing on the way. Yes, on a daily basis, the Lord granted him strength to keep going. No, he did not supply a three-day supply at once, so to speak, but only a day-to-day supply. He received exactly what he needed day by day. And that's how Paul was refreshed and renewed in the inner man. His outer life did not get him down anymore, for according to the inner man, he moved on from strength to strength. And, beloved of the Lord, what the apostle writes here should be the experience of us, of all God's children, should become the experience then of every one of us, all the members also of the church, those who are listening in, and also as we are here. We also know that our outer man is subject to wear and tear, and slowly but surely goes to ruin. Our life blossoms just for a little while, but then it withers, it dies. Life is so short that you could say that we are born to die. With our baptism, it was stated already, remember, our life is nothing but a constant death. True, initially, we see an increase in strength. The child becomes a boy, the boy a young man, and the young man an adult. But how soon has he not reached the point of return? He loses, his eye loses its sharp focus. His ear doesn't hear anything anymore. His body begins to age. And that beautiful gift of memory loses its sharpness, and to recall what he read or heard becomes increasingly difficult. And then there are the effects, the ruinous effects of certain events, the event of a dangerous virus, like this present coronavirus. Then there is great fear and concern, followed by mourning and sorrow. Yes, and are especially those mental and psychological breakdowns. But, beloved, thanks be to our God, the Christian knows that this breakdown of life can and must be offset by its constant spiritual renewal. He may be able to speak of internal growth among external decay. So then, beloved, let us at this time, not that we are faced with serious illnesses and even with death itself, keep on growing, constantly using that God-given spiritual remedies to stimulate and enhance such spiritual growth. And to that end, let us always realize that such growth will be possible only when we daily acknowledge and show that Christ, the Savior, is the fountain of our spiritual life, so that we seek in him and with him only the daily renewal of our life. Indeed, let us do so before it is too late. Let us do so today and on all the days of our life. Yes, let us do so before our outer man has gone to ruin. In our text, the apostle also points to that second contrast. This light momentary affliction, he says, is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. That in the second place. Well, what's that? Did you, Paul, speak of momentary affliction? It's hard to understand how this man speaks that way in view of his particular hardships, that he can still speak in such a fashion. Still, he speaks of a slight affliction, of a momentary affliction. Light kind of troubles. Yes, indeed, he adds that word momentary. What an important, what a telling word that is. For here we get a word that helps us to understand his overall point of view. With it, he stresses that our grief is of a short duration. It's only of a temporary nature. It's here today, but gone tomorrow, after it has achieved its purpose. And that's why Paul says this present grief is actually of a minor nature and should not weigh that much with us. By faith, we Christians know that there is an eternity at the back of this, our earthly life. For when you measure this earthly life in view of that upcoming eternal life, then our sorrow turns out to be slight indeed. And it's like a twinkling of an eye. And that's how we see again that contrast, how Paul over against the grief of this earthly life places that glory unsurpassed, which will be revealed to us, children of God. Yet to us, who are so precious in his holy sight. Or indeed, the grief that some of us have to endure is not slight, is not little in itself. In fact, oftentimes, it's hardly bearable. But in comparison to that coming glory, the apostle cannot but call it slight and light. And in addition, we learn that our grief, those are momentary troubles, are used by God, in fact, as part of his great work unto our salvation, to make us think of him the more. They fulfill a purpose to bring our mind, our heart in the right place, and that is with God, with our Savior, with the God-given Savior of the whole world. And that's how all of us are called, are motivated to keep our problems, our grief in the right perspective, in the proper proportion. We may never lose sight of the glorious reality, of that framework in which they come to pass, are taking place. And when Paul then goes on to deal with that matter of glory, then he seems to have difficulty to describe the invisible things of the world to come. He speaks of an eternal weight of glory, a glory beyond all comparison. Our God holds, as it were, a pair of scales in his hand. Of which the one is called time and the other eternity. And in the first is laid our earthly affliction, and in the other our heavenly glory. And what do we then see? That the scales tip through decisively in favor of that one with eternity, that is heavenly glory. And it tells us then, beloved, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that it will be revealed to us. So what God has then in store for us is incomparable, is an unsurpassed inheritance, which as Peter says in 1 Peter 1, an inheritance that is imperishable, unfading, undefiled. And that's what we will have as fruit of Christ's work of salvation. And beloved, compared to that glorious reality, our present grief is but a little thing. Hardly worth talking about. For there is given this perspective in the kingdom of God, from grief to glory, from cross to crown, fight the good fight of faith to victory. And it is then from humiliation to exaltation. Well, beloved of the Lord, in the face of so much glory, should we then grieve as others, as unbelievers do? For what a future we Christians do have. And moreover, what are our problems, our affliction, our grief compared to what Paul had to endure for the sake of the gospel? Now let us especially remember that our suffering never meets the extent of the equal to our sins. Something that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had to experience in body and soul. As he suffered that incomparable pain and hellish agony on that accursed cross, that historical cross, just outside the city of Jerusalem. And it was all in order to free us from our sin and misery, to pay for it in full, and to have us obtain and look forward to what he holds out to us, his members, to all who believe and follow him, that is an imperishable life, a crown of glory. And that's how we then also make here and now, amidst the affliction of this present fearful coronavirus, yes, make that ongoing process from suffering to victory, from grief to glory. For that's how it was with Christ our head, and that's how it also will be for us, his followers, his members, and members of his body, the church. And so we will together with all those who believe in him, belong to him with body and soul, both alive and death, put our hope and trust in him. And that brings us then our third and final point. We see how the apostle directs our mind from things present to things to come. We do not, he says, look at the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. When we, in our afflictions, comfort ourselves with that promised future glory, we reach in faith out to what is yet unseen. And that's the way. That's good. For faith, as we also know from Hebrews 11, is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen, not yet seen. Now, if we concentrate on and cling to what is seen, then we deceive ourselves, then we will end up with nothing. For whatever belongs to what is seen is temporary, here today and gone tomorrow. Only what is unseen is eternal, will last forever and ever. And therefore the things of this earth cannot and will not have our undivided attention, for we aim at better things, pursue things which are presently unseen. We have a different goal in life, and everything has to become subservient to that goal. Or certainly, we may again thankfully make use of and again enjoy the time when we are no longer subject to this virus, and in the process use and enjoy the many transient things which God in his grace will grant us in this life. As long as we receive these temporary things of life as good gifts from him, from our God and Father. And not forget that all those visible and temporary things are to be seen and received in the light of that God-given eternity, that life everlasting that he has promised us in Jesus Christ. And beloved, with that we are faced with a choice. We must choose between things present and things to come. There are now billions at this present time who have no other aim in life than to eat, drink, and be merry. And among them, there are also found many of God's covenant children who seem to have no other questions than what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we put on, or how can we best make a good living, make the most of our present life. Well, beloved, if that's our lifestyle, then we are really to be pitied. Then we are in for a big disappointment. Then there will be left only with us the everlasting night of an utter uselessness of eternal regret. But when we, on the other hand, have chosen the imperishable things, the things which our covenant God has put in store for us, that is a productive life on a purified, on a beautiful new earth, a paradise in the full sense of the word, well, then we are to be congratulated. It's true, the world around us laughs us to scorn. Unbelievers, by far the majority in this world, unbelievers who consider our choice, our goal, absolutely ridiculous, they stick to what is seen, something tangible, and thus exclusively pursue the pleasures this world has to offer. But we know how foolish that is. Foolish men who do not know, who do not want to know of the great things yet to come. So, beloved of the Lord, dear listeners, we know better. We should know better. And that's why we should keep on reaching out for what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor was conceived in the heart of man. It's true. Every time again we become distracted, become tempted to believe that this life is it, that this is all there is to it. And that's why our God and Father, in his wisdom, balances out our present life with hardships, with viruses, with fearful illnesses, yes, even with death itself, so that we see through the temporary idleness of this present world and know that he uses hardships, that he uses suffering, grief to put some good sense into us, to make our faith come alive, to compel us to seek the things which are above, where he, Christ, is our Lord and Savior. And that's what we, on hearing the word of God, the gospel of Christ, bring then out into the open throughout our life, the life that still remains with us. We will bring out into the open that the things presently unseen, but as promised by our God, by our Lord and Savior, have our undivided interest, our undivided attention. And we may and must do so in order to show that we are possessors of good that will never ever go to ruin. So, beloved, do know and do believe that we have a glorious possession, and thus also a glorious message with which we are going to proclaim in our life situation of every day. Amidst the fearful viruses and illnesses and calamities of this our present time, let us all become good instruments in the hands of our one and only Savior to direct the minds of each other and the peoples round about us towards him, our risen, living Savior, so that they and we all may be comforted, and so that together our lives will move from ruin to renewal, from grief to glory, and from things present to things unseen, to things to come. Then together we will have a blessed life in and unto the Lord Jesus, the Savior of the world, and live a purposeful life throughout the rest of our life, be it long or short. Amen.